You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Sita Rocha. Sita is one of our faculty members here. She's a professor of practice, and she does a lot of things. She has titles, but she does more. She goes above and beyond the call of duty, and we're going to talk about some of the exciting things happening here this summer. One of the things that is just getting ready to wrap up this week as well. Sita, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louie. I always love talking to you about our wonderful journalism programs and our kids, so it's good to be here.
Well, as I mentioned, wrapping up a program right now that has been going on all week, and that's the Multimedia Training Academy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's going on its sixth year. And what we do is we bring 12 professors of journalism from community colleges and universities from across the country who teach journalism. They're from Hispanic-serving institutions, the majority of them. And the idea is to bring them in for a boot camp, one-week boot camp, where they are on the ground reporting stories and learning how to use digital equipment for storytelling, for journalism. And while they're here, they work in teams. They go out into the community, and they develop their own multimedia story that we then publish on Borderzine. So, yeah.
Now, this is one of the few programs like this, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, there are only two. The other one is at Kentucky, University of Kentucky. That one is for professors from historically black colleges and universities. And the one we have here at UTEP is, like I said, for professors from Hispanic-serving institutions.
I've been to meet some of the professors, and some of them I've worked with both as journalists and professors. Tell me a little bit about the process. How were they selected, besides the fact that they work at Hispanic-serving universities?
Sure. Well, interestingly enough, we send out a call for applications, so we've got a formal application process. This year we had over 40 applications for 12 slots. So every year our number of applicants goes up. Interestingly enough, one of the journalism schools in Southern California does this one-week training, but at cost. And so to attend that one-week training, anyone who goes would have to pay a tuition of $2,500. This one is completely funded by Dow Jones News Fund. So the professors come here. We provide the trainers. We provide the material and the lab and the computers. And they stay on campus at the hotel here on campus. So it's all basically a scholarship for them to come to learn multimedia. And most of these professors are pretty new at the multimedia aspect. Many of them come from traditional journalism backgrounds, broadcast and print journalism. And now they're, of course, having to convert their classes at their universities into multimedia journalism classes. So what we're doing is we're giving them the skills to be able to do that and to be able to then prepare their students with those skills so that the students can become hireable in
all
these new jobs.
Because you mentioned that this is the sixth year, I would imagine that, for example, students, professors from, say, 4 years ago are pretty much well on their way and have established similar programs at their own universities.
Absolutely. Some of them actually have been asked by their chair of their department to make the transition and to teach this whole new multimedia journalism class. So they really are coming here and learning how to do that. And then they're going back to their schools and starting, in many cases, a whole new program in multimedia journalism. Some of them come, they have already a skills level, but they need to take it to the next level to keep up with the students because that's what they need when we send them out there. So it's been an interesting mix over the years of people. Also, many of them will go back to their universities and working with their students will begin to produce multimedia journalism, don't have an outlet to publish it, and the professors will then send us their student stories to publish in Borderzine. So we've had some pretty good partnerships over the last few years with getting students from Columbia College in Chicago, for example, from Imperial Valley Community College, from some of the schools in Florida, in South Florida, having those students publishing in Borderzine. So it's really a win-win for everyone all around.
So this is great exposure for the students and for the universities because, as you mentioned, they get to reach out and, it sounds like a AT&T commercial, but
I know,
they go out, get published, and get noticed by other schools, and perhaps because of that, they can further their career or go to graduate school.
Exactly. And you know what's also really lovely that I really consider an important aspect of this program is that, so these professors are coming here, that most of them, I would say 99% of them, have never been to the border. They've never been to El Paso, Ciudad Juarez, obviously. They come here, and then we send them out into the community to report stories in the community. And we've had them in the past produce multimedia packages, for example, on Segundo Barrio and the History Museum in Segundo Barrio. This year, some of the teams are doing a story on the Rio Grande and the release of water to Mexico. They've actually been following all week the release of water into the Rio Grande, into Mexico. Another one has been doing the issue of the colonias and how the colonias are, you know, some of them that don't have potable water and trash services and things like that. They're focusing on the colonias and the whole ecology of the colonias. Another team is doing a story on the beautiful Franklin Mountains and the new Trans Mountain Highway. So they're actually going out into the community and experiencing this community for the first time and turning that into multimedia stories that have never been reported before by either local or national media.
One of the questions that I wonder about is, and you've been in this position too, as so have I, the fact that both of us, you know, were journalists and then we turned into academic people by going to academia. I would imagine that for these professors who are teaching and undergoing this training, it's difficult for them because it might make them a little bit uneasy because they don't know what they're doing, and nothing against them, but it's a new skill. And also the fact that they're afraid that because they've been told, well, you know, you're too old or it's going to pass you up and you shouldn't be learning this. So some of them are just basically, for lack of a better word, afraid of technology.
Absolutely. And I've heard that message this week from some of the professors that are with us with the training, where they're saying, you know, now I feel comfortable teaching my students, for example, audio. You know, audio collection and editing. Now I feel comfortable, much more comfortable with teaching them how to do video or edit video in the classroom. So, yeah, we're getting that from them. And interestingly enough, some of them have also admitted, you know, this is overwhelming. I mean, you guys have put us out into the field. We're having to work with equipment that in many cases we've never worked with before. We're having to bring back our digital material to the classroom and edit it, turn it into a story. Wow, what a learning experience.
In all in one week,
absolutely. It's really intense. The first 3 days, they go out into the field all 3 days to collect digital video and digital audio and photography as well. So, yeah, they're working it all the time on the ground. That's why we call it a boot camp. And I tell them before they come, I say, you know, get ready to work really, really hard, but have fun. And that's actually what ends up happening. So it's a great experience all around.
As I mentioned, this program is wrapping up today, but it's been going on all week. But your office, your department is always, you're always busy. So
yes.
As this one is wrapping up, you're getting ready to announce another one.
We are, absolutely. So we are about to bring 20 high school students who are working for their high school media, either, you know, print, broadcast, online, whatever it is. These are kids from the local community, both public and private schools, in addition to two students that come over from Juarez. They attend one of the high schools in Juarez where they're learning and actually already involved in learning communication and English at the same time. So every year we've given two scholarships to two students from Juarez to come to UTEP and be part of this. We call it Journalism in July, which is a great title that was actually former department chair, now Dean Dr. Witherspoon, came up with the great title, Journalism in July, because that's what they're doing. So in that case, again, we get some funding from Dow Jones. Dow Jones News Fund is the national foundation that funds both the program for the college teachers as well as Journalism in July. They partially fund Journalism in July. And we bring them to campus for a whole week. We house them. So it's like a pre-college experience for these kids. We house them in the dorms. They get to attend workshops here on hard news writing, feature writing, how to write leads, how to interview, how to use digital equipment, how to put stories together in a multimedia format. And then we publish their publication. They actually create their own publication on the web that we publish. They name it. They give it their own name. One year they called it 19 Underground because they were working in our underground journalism lab for the whole week, and they were really cold because it's very cold down there. And so they called their newspaper 19 Underground. 2 years ago they called it Riding the Fence, which I thought was really cool. And they did their designed their own logo for their web newspaper that they did.
Like the professors who are wrapping up their workshop this week, these students also are pretty much submerged into a boot camp.
Completely, yeah. That's the whole thing, is that we ask them to come with 3-story ideas already in mind. And maybe if it's a story out in the community, that if they can, we encourage them to actually bring photos, digital photos, bring video already if they have it. And then we work with them here on developing their story. So they have really strong mentorship on both the writing aspect of what they're doing, the written stories that they're producing, as well as the digital media pieces that they're doing to accompany their story. So yeah, it is definitely a boot camp. It's great. It's going on its 13th year, believe it or not. We're really proud. Yesterday we had a representative of Dow Jones here to visit with the professors and see what we're doing with that program. And unfortunately, I couldn't come this year to stay for Journalism in July, but we're hoping the foundation, which has been so incredibly supportive. I love this program, Louis, because we are one of the Dow Jones sanctioned sponsored workshops of 21 in the country. We have one of them here at UTEP, and it's been going for 13 years, and it's been really strong. And we've sent out kids from that project. We've had kids come back to UTEP to study journalism and communication. And our city editor this coming year for our Borderzine.com web magazine, which is all student-driven, is a former graduate of Journalism in July. About 6 years ago, a young man from Ciudad Juarez who attended one of the preparatorias, the Preparatoria Chamizal in Ciudad Juarez, who came to Journalism in July, loved the experience, realized that that was his calling, journalism, enrolled at EPCC for 2 years and transferred to UTEP a year ago and is now one of our majors in multimedia journalism. He's going to be our city editor next year, Genaro Cruz, so we're really happy to have him. This project, I believe, is doing more to promote high school journalism and getting these kids ready to pursue fields in media and multimedia, not just in journalism, but communication in general and media in general. It is doing more, I believe, to enhance and prepare our young people at the high school level to go out and continue to pursue those careers. I mean, it's our own factory, little engine to produce these young people who are going to go out and be journalists.
Okay, we're preparing these students, but what are we preparing them for?
Right.
Because as you've mentioned before, journalism and newsrooms have been shutting down left and right.
Absolutely. But, you know, interestingly enough, I've talked about this issue because, yeah, it has been of great concern to us, the issue of, okay, so everything's moving online now, right? Everything's moving digital media. Jobs are drying up in the traditional, what they call legacy media, right? Traditional newsrooms, both broadcast and print. So what are we preparing these kids for? Well, I'm very happy to report that one of the things that's happened is that as traditional newsrooms have shrunk over the last 10 years, what they are now doing is that they're investing in their online presence, and they're actually moving to the web. And as they're moving to the web, guess what they need? They don't need old folks like us, right, who worked in print or traditional print and broadcast and have old line skills, which are still valid to a great extent, but that's not where it's at now for these young people. What I'm finding is a lot of these young people are now being hired on the digital side of traditional newsrooms so that they can begin doing the multimedia, can begin doing video stories, they can begin doing audio stories, they can start doing sound slides, and the kind of journalism that it doesn't take the place of a good old solid print journalism story, right, where you get all the facts, where you get your inverted pyramid, right, where you do all of the investigation you need to write a good, solid news story. But what they're learning is how to enhance that traditional news story with multimedia and expand and explain different aspects in a visual way and in an audio way, a story that traditionally would have only run in a print format. Now the story has a lot more legs to it, a lot more it's like an octopus now, right? It's got a lot of octopus legs. And I think it informs the public in a much better way, in a much more thorough and complete way, by providing them with context on a complicated story, because most stories are complicated. They're not just one side or the other.
As we're wrapping up this interview, Sita, if you wouldn't mind giving us the web address to BorderZine, and so they can our listeners can find out additional information about what you've been talking about.
Absolutely. We have information on there about both of these programs I've been talking about. It's BorderZine, as in magazine, Z-I-N-E, .com. And the Journalism in July program, we're going to be selecting participants. We've got a bevy of applications. We're going to be selecting them on Monday and letting the students know, the 20 that have been selected. And that program will run in July from the 12th through the 19th. So that whole week, those 20 kids will be on campus doing journalism and going out into the community reporting on stories of importance to our community.
Well, Sita, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Sita Rocha. Sita is one of our faculty members here in the Department of Communication, also responsible for BorderZine and multimedia training. And as you heard, you can go to BorderZine.com to find out more information about what she's been talking about. Thank you, Sita.
Thank you, Louis. Always a pleasure.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, DJ Orozco. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sainz.